Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander. I'm here to host my show, Blind Flap for Happiness. Today, my guest is Playboy Playmate, aspiring author, all-around free spirit, and a very motivating woman, as well as a mom, Terry Lynn Doss. Are you there, Terry?
I'm here. How are you?
Good. You know, it's amazing. It's been 6 years since you've been on.
Yes.
I guess lots happened.
Been a long time.
I mean,
yes,
you.
A lot has happened.
A lot has happened. I mean, you know, I'll say this. What's amazing to me is that you really, I introduced you as a mom, and that can be lead into this question. I've always loved the way that you're a loving mom and you're a protective mom. You know, I mean, you know, your daughters are your life, and you have this big beam in your eye when you have, like, obviously they're not this age anymore, but I remember this one particular, I think it's, you said it was at Nicolas Cage's house, and you were sitting on a beach and you were standing behind him. Do you know the picture I'm talking about?
Oh, yes. That was actually a Christmas photo that my daughters and I took. It was probably, that photo is quite old. It was taken about 2-3 years after my mother had passed away. So that particular photo is very, it's a sad photo, but at the same time, my mother loved the beach. So it was a lot of reflecting in that photo. It was, I think the photo speaks for itself. It was very kind of like a sad day. I think there's a couple outtakes of the photo. It's kind of hard to talk about. My mother had just died a few years prior, and my kids were going through a lot of just reflecting. And, in fact, in some of the photos, my youngest daughter, we had put mascara on her, and, you know, back then, like, my kids were into wearing, you know, makeup. Even back then, they started young, kind of like me, you know, they just loved to play with makeup, and my daughter's mascara was actually running in one of the photos. It was just a really great moment, and Peggy McIntaggart, who is a playmate, took the photograph, and it's probably one of my very favorites, so.
Bye. I think you actually changed it around one time. I think you put wings on you while you had the...
No, that was actually a later photograph. That photo was taken, many years later. That photo was taken of me with the wings. That was taken probably 4 years ago.
Actually,
by a photographer friend of mine named Larry Beretta. And...
Go on with what you're saying about the picture.
Oh, so what I wanted to say was that a lot of people were questioning, like, why are you wearing black wings, you know? And I was going through a really dark period in my life, and I had the option of wearing white wings at that time or wearing black wings, and I chose the black. I was... in a really dark time in my life at that time, and that was a very, very telling day for me. It was when I was just really struggling with some things, and, you know, I'm an open book, but I was struggling with depression real bad and a little bit of substance abuse. I had gotten a DUI, and I just said to him, it was in the winter months. It was freezing cold. I mean, the water was probably 50 degrees, and I just called him, and I said, you know what, we need to go shoot photos. I'm really just, and I was very emotional that day, and it's typically when I was always feeling, I don't know, you know, I think my pictures all tell a story.
I mean, you know, that's the thing with all of my stuff. I sort of wonder, like, what's going on. Like, it's sort of funny. I was wanting to tell you a story about that picture of you with the wings. I think you were one where you were wearing white wings, though. But,
White Wings. Well, the White Wings photograph was the same day that was taken of my kids and I on the beach with where we were, like, praying. And that was the same photo shoot that Peggy took of us that was wound up being our Christmas picture. But that was a whole other, I mean, the Black Wings photograph, that was taken many, many years later. Yeah.
Well, the reason, I'm going to tell you this real quick story. I think I told you this before. My nephew, Ben, lost a tooth. And then my sister, Chrissy, she told him, okay, put the tooth on your pillow. And when you put the tooth on your pillow, the tooth fairy will come and bring you a dollar. Well, he was petrified about the idea of this big, spooky tooth fairy coming in his room when he's in the middle of the night. Going through his room. So I said, okay, well, let's see. You know, I think I know a way that I can make him feel better. All right. I'll go pick that picture up with Terry Lynn Doss with the White Rings. And then I'll have her on
the White Wings? Oh, that's sweet.
I was going to get the picture.
The only picture I really have of me in White Wings is of my children and I in White Wings. And that was more of like, what do you want to call it? Like a dedication to my mom.
Right.
But the Black Wings, my kids were nowhere to be found. That picture is much more recent than the others. So.
Yeah, but I was going to show them that picture and tell them, see, the Tooth Fairy isn't mean.
Yeah, well, you know, people, White Wings are beautiful. Black Wings, hey, we all go through dark times. And like I said, I was going through a really dark time. I'm just like anyone else. I'm not perfect. And, you know, I'm on the board of drinking under the influence and mothers of drunk drivers and all that kind of things. And I never hurt anybody, you know, thank God. And I'm really blessed with that. But I actually went through another DUI after that. So obviously I didn't learn my lesson the first time. So anyone who's going to jail.
What did you say? You went to jail?
I wound up going to jail the second time. I spent 3 days in jail, and I had to do, which was the most humbling experience of my life. It just was, you know, something that I don't regret anything in my life other than, you know, there's a few things. The bottom line is that it really opened my eyes, and it was probably one of the best things that ever happened to me. There's a lot of people that, you know, that don't speak about it. And I'm on a lot of different boards, and I speak on a lot of different boards of drinking and driving and the ramifications of it all. And I think people need to be more aware of what happens and the ramifications of it all. And I think that there needs to be, well, I can go into it, but I think that with the law, I think there needs to be much tougher law as being a first-time offender, because I obviously didn't learn the first time. So, yeah, so I went to jail, and I had to do, it ruined my life for a good 3 years. And I don't want to say ruined my life, but, like, I wasn't able to drive. I had a friend of mine that was, you know, kind of my angel at that time. He drove me around, you know, for a good couple, 2-3 years. And, you know, because I had no car. I lost my license, and my entire life changed. I mean, I literally couldn't do anything. I didn't have a car. You know, I was getting around by bicycle, or I was walking. And, you know, I am just simply stating this because I just encourage everybody that if you're going to drink, don't drive and take a cab, you know. And we all think that, oh, we're fine, you know, but we can drive and I'm invincible, and you feel like that when you're drunk. But the bottom line is don't drink and drive, because it's just so not worth it. And so I did 6 months of community service where I had to go to a park and pick up leaves and wear my orange jumpsuit. And I also had to go to the county morgue and see dead people. It was you know, I mean, it is what it is. So I can talk about it, and I'm actually writing about it in a memoir book that I'm, it's taken me a couple of years to write because it's, it can be pretty dark at times, and it's not just about Playboy. Playboy's maybe a half of a chapter of that, but the rest is just about, you know, ups and downs and just being a person. And I'm an open book, and I want my book just to be about encouraging others, inspiring others, and just, you know, we all go through stuff, and we're all going to make it through and come out the other end, hopefully, with flying colors, you know, and hopefully we learn from our life's experiences. So I really want to inspire others to do the same. And I'm not perfect, by the way. I'm not perfect. You know.
The fact is that nobody.
People get that. People in my whole problem kind of sort of is that people get, you know, that they have this preconceived idea that, oh, you're a playmate, you must live this grandiose lifestyle, and you must be really rich, and you know, you have people at your, you know, it's just, it's not what people think it is. So not. And I don't live in a huge mansion, actually, right now. I live in 800 square feet with my youngest daughter, and I've simplified enormously. And a huge house does not make a home. And I am extremely happy where I'm at right now in terms of just simplifying and knowing what's really important in life. And space really doesn't make your place in life. So there you have that, pretty much in a nutshell.
Now, what role do you think spirituality plays in your life?
What does it play in my life? I am not a real religious person. I'm pretty much open to, you know, I grew up Lutheran. My grandfather was a Baptist preacher, and my parents grew up in a very small town in Missouri. So, and he lived to be almost 100 years old. He was just the most amazing grandfather. And in terms of spirituality, I just believe that we are really all one. The only thing I have a really hard time with is people that do not believe in anything at all. They just believe that we live on this earth, we exist, and then we die, and there's nothing else. And I happen to know personally my own experience, and I'm not more than what we are living right here and right now. After my mother's death, when I was very young, unfortunately, it caused me to grow up very fast, or created me to grow up very quickly. And I was fortunate enough to know, because it wasn't like a sudden death. I knew she was sick, but she told me how she was going to come to me, and we talked about this last time, was through numbers. And I still, you know, I still get it, and I get choked up when I think about it. But
well, actually, it's funny. I do
know that there's life after this. I don't know what that entails, what that looks like, but I've lost, oh gosh, I lost, I consider him to be a brother in a helicopter accident, Chad. I've lost a couple of very, very close people to me, a girl named Marcia Parrish, who was a very dear friend to me, from suicide, and another friend through suicide, and a couple of playmates, just, you know, one Linda Weissmeyer, she died of brain cancer.
Did you ever meet her?
I did, actually. I met her at a few glamour cons, and just the most amazing woman, so humble. Yeah, I know that you knew her.
Yeah, she bought vitamins for me. She was one of the three models that she did, and what I liked about it was that she would it was so down to earth. She was so down to earth. Her birthday was yesterday, and just an amazing.
Yeah, it was.
She told me, when she says, "When I promise you something, you can take it to me, then you can take it to God." That's what she would tell me. when she was, it was just, you know, amazingly, you know, sweet lady.
So down to earth, such a sweet woman. And, you know, the sad part was, you know, one day my friend Robert and I, we actually took about an, oh gosh, I think it was a 3-hour, sorry about the noise behind me. We took a 3-hour drive out to her grave site, and we light, you know, we laid flowers down and lit candles and stuff, and it was a beautiful drive, but yeah, it was just kind of like, wow. And she lived in silence for so long. People don't know this about Linda, but she had brain cancer, and it's just like, you know, just too young to go, and I... So that was really hard, and then there was another playmate that passed away, Cassandra Lynn Hensley, and, you know, that whole thing I really don't care to go into because it's still kind of under investigation, but she was an amazing girl, and there are just a lot of circumstances regarding that whole situation that are under investigation, so I can't really talk about it, but... You know, the media plays it out to be some and blows everything out of proportion. You know, God forbid anything were to ever happen to me. I just hope that people can just remember me to just be a really good person and not, you know, people tend to go, oh, she was a playmate, so she, you know, she had issues or whatever, but she was just a really good person and a mother and, you know, a wife and just a really sweet person. So.
You have high standards of how you treat people, like friends and your family. And when those high standards, you know, are not met, I think you get a little bit sad, I think. Am I right in saying that?
No. No, I am... I don't have high standards of people.
No, it's
I
how you
think
treat
that,
people. How you treat people.
Yeah, I think that we should treat people kindly, and kindness will come back to us.
I never said you had high standards of people. High standards of how you treat people.
Oh, well, you know, I'm guilty of not treating people all that great. I'll be honest. I don't keep in touch with my family members like I should. And so I need to really work on that. I'm a daily work in progress. You know, I've got a lot of things going on just psychologically, emotionally, and physically that it just there's just some days where I know I should pick up the phone and call and I don't, you know. But I don't have high standards in how people treat me other than just hopefully with respect. And I think that with social media, I think that people out there know that I'm really quick to hit the delete button because I have people on there that, you know, just say rude things. They can say one little thing and it can just set me off where I just have no tolerance for ignorance or for,
what's happened is, like with me, and this is the truth, I do this all the time, and I think, you know, you've done this before, like I'll ask you a question, and then you'll post something to me, Jonathan Alexander, you asked the darnest question.
Wait, I do what?
I ask you a question on your Facebook, and you say, Jonathan Alexander, you asked the darnest question.
No, I usually say, yeah, I do. I'm very, very open with, I know, and a lot of times I don't think before I speak, but with you, you know, I've known you a long time, and I know that you get me, you know where I'm coming from, you know, and then you say you're sorry, and then I feel, at the same time, you know, I'm on social media, and it's a great forum, I have great fans, I have very few friends, on there. I mean, there's people that I went to high school with. There's Stephanie Johnson. There's Michelle Kennedy. There's Laura Warfolk. There are certain people that have known me since I was, God, like in the sixth grade that I grew up with, you know, and that are like, you know, those girls are like my sisters, man. They know me inside and out. And then there are my cousins who I grew up with, obviously, that know that, you know, they know my personality. They know that I used to vamp as Cher, and I used to hold, you know, put on my own variety shows, and just, you know, I love Cher. So
now
you always
told
that I was her.
You had told me also that you were going to write a book. And I was just curious, does this tie into where you want to be in 5-10 years? Like, did you want to, like, write a book?
Yep. Yep. I've actually been, and I really want, I'm going to ask Maddie, my youngest daughter, to help me because she's a great illustrator. She's amazingly talented. She knows our cats inside and out. We've rescued all of our cats. But Mr. Gray... has been quite the explorer, and he did the last, like, 3 years of his life. You know, he's, oh my gosh, he's gotten out, he's broken through screens, he's taken off for, you know, hours on end, and so I'm going to do, I really want to work on a children's book about, the title so far is The Adventures of Mr. Gray, and kind of like what he sees along the way and what he comes across, because he's always come back. Or my daughter, Maddie, is a huge animal advocate. She rescues animals. We have raccoons. We've got all sorts of things where we live, and we feed them all. Squirrels, she's like, it's like Noah's Ark around here, and we live in an area where you would never, ever think that. Like, it's not like we live in a forest preserve, you know. But Maddie has rescued so many animals, and she has such a loving spirit about her that they all gravitate toward her, you know. And so that is in the works, and also writing my memoir, which has been, you know, kind of in the works for the last, well, since we talked kind of last, and just about my life, and it's dark, to be honest with you. It's not very uplifting, so it's tough because, there's just some things that I don't know that I really want to talk about, but at the same time, I feel it's more about just not so much about people knowing who I am, but just me kind of like, it's more on a therapeutic level. So whether or not I'm going to plan on publishing it, I don't know. I hope to. I think it will help other people in so many ways. I think that people can relate to it. It's not so much about, you know, like, hey, here's me and here's my life story. It's, it can be very dark at times, so it's hard to go there.
Do you feel that it, I never thought of you as perfect. I always thought that was probably the worst compliment I think you can give someone, is to say they're perfect, because it's an impossible standard to obtain, you know. I mean, it makes more sense to just say, oh, my God, you've overcome a lot. You know, that's a much better compliment, because at least it's realistic. I mean, you know.
That's my reality. There are many people that, you know, can certainly, like, you know, my hat's off to Jenny McCarthy, who can write about, you know, her, she's more comedic than I am. I'm more serious. Like, I'm not comparing myself to her. I'm just saying that my life has been.
What about the name Farrah Fawcett? Because let me tell you something.
You and Farrah Fawcett, I don't know what that is
okay.
with you.
Can
I
explain
and me.
To you what it, okay, can I say why it is? Do you see why I say Farrah Fawcett?
Well, sure.
Okay. What it is.
You think
is,
I look like her. I don't look like her.
Not so much that you look like her. It's just that you're, okay. When, okay, I think that, you know, everyone talked about Farrah Fawcett was this angel, you know, because she was so nice. And the same thing was sort of said about you. It's sort of like, and also you have this pose that you do in one of your pictures that's very Farrah Fawcett-ish. is,
oh, the one on the rock with that. You're thinking about the feathered hair. You're thinking about the feathered hair photo.
Well, it was just one. I think he was, and it, you looked like you reminded me of Farrah Fawcett. And I think another one, the one where you were standing in the bikini from the door with sunglasses, see Farrah Fawcett doing that.
Oh my gosh. No, that was a Venus swimwear shot, no. But thank you for the compliment. She was rather iconic.
Know, but it's just that, I mean, have you ever met Farrah Fawcett?
No.
It was Farrah Fawcett.
But I do definitely, you know, her battle and what she went through. Wow. I don't know. That's one thing about growing older. It's like I'm getting close to 50, and I'm living the next chapter of my life, and I hope to live a long time. You know, I have no problem with getting older. I'm wiser, and I wouldn't give anything to go back to being 22. But so what I'm trying to get at just is that I don't want to ever get sick like that. I try to eat as healthy as I can. I'm not perfect, but, you know, there's, you know, you can eat so healthy and live this great healthy lifestyle and then, you know, and then get ill. So I just think that her life was really cut short, and that whole, the fact that it was all documented and stuff, you know, I mean, I really give her, she had so much courage and strength, and there's a lot to be said for that. So, but thank you for the comparison.
Has anybody else done that?
Done what?
Compared you to Farrah Fawcett.
Compared me to other people?
Farrah Fawcett.
Well, when you say that, I just have to, now it's me here, I'm like going on, I'm not being mean, but we don't know her as a person. When I look at myself in the mirror, okay, maybe I resemble somebody, but for me, when someone says, oh, you remind me of, for me, I want to be more reminded, if I'm going to be reminded of anybody, it's my personality, you know, and who I am as a person. And thank you for the comparison, and maybe in photos you may think I look like her, and hey, that's a huge compliment. But when someone tries to, like, compare me to anybody, I'm just like, you know what? I am me, and nobody else is like me. Nobody else is like you. You know that. So.
No, I mean, everybody says I look like Bob Dylan. So the thing is that...
Oh.
It's just that...
And you know what? And by the way, for me, I meet people, and it's so funny. Whenever I'm out, I'll be like, you know who you look like? And I should be like a celebrity. Seriously, I should be like a I should be an agent for a celebrity lookalike kind of person. Because for me, like, my one friend looks like a younger or an older Kiefer Sutherland. Then I've met, you know, people that, like, I'm always like, do you know who you look like? Do you know who you look like? And the people that are with me are always like, you're always doing this who you look like thing, but I'm always right on about it, you know?
Well, to be honest, so, now, we'll tell you this. This is, I mean, you know, I've heard one of your friends say you look like Marilyn Monroe.
What? God, no way.
Yeah.
I've gotten some people
you,
that
I'll
I'm
tell
like, really? No. I've gotten
I'll tell you which friend it is when we get off the show, but she said Marilyn Monroe, and then I said, Farrah Fawcett, and she goes, there you go.
No, you know what? I think that we all, I don't know, I think that's a real compliment, by the way, but I don't know. Anyway, next subject.
Okay, well, we have about 23 seconds, 20 seconds to go, left to go, but I think I would love...
So let's talk about my kids, because I love my children. I'm so proud of my kids. So
okay,
let's talk about a little bit more of an uplifting thing here.
Okay.
So my kids are now 21 and 22, and my oldest daughter is going to university, and she's doing amazing. She's absolutely beautiful, but as we all know, you know, beauty and brains are the perfect package. She's very intelligent, and it doesn't even realize how beautiful she is on the inside and out. But she's absolutely amazing. And then my youngest daughter, Maddie, is we live together, and we're like two peas in a pod. She's my comedy show all the time. She makes me laugh. I post videos of her all the time. She's just hysterical.
With the feet on the dashboard.
I'm sorry?
The feet on the dashboard.
The feet on the dashboard? Oh, the feet.
Yes.
Yeah, the feet on the dashboard. Yeah. We're always doing, she's always doing funny videos. I'm always capturing her in rare moments. And she's just a hoot. And she's doing a lot of modeling. She shot for Eugenia Swimwear, which was my first gig, which was kind of cool. You know, we went to Cabo, and so she's now considered an international model. She's done a lot of stuff, and she's got a bright future ahead of her, you know, acting-wise, and that's more of her outlet. Like, she's very creative, but at the same time, I have taken her under my wing, and I'm working kind of as her manager and steering her in the right direction in terms of who she gets involved with and where she goes from here. But don't be surprised if you see her on a great sitcom someday, because she's hysterical.
That's good. She actually reminds me of Kate Hudson, your daughter, Maddie. She looks just like Kate Hudson. I mean, I don't know if you've ever noticed that, and you've agreed with me on that, but Kate Hudson.
Yeah, you know, she does. She's got her own look. She looks, neither one of my kids look just like me. They are, they look just like, you know, they're a mixture of their father and myself, and their dad's a very handsome man, and he and I are still very good friends to this day, but my kids are both their own person, and, great energy, and both of them are very, very artistic and smart and intelligent and also beautiful, which doesn't hurt, you know?
Well, you know, it's been great having you on, Terry, and I will give you the link to the episode, and I hope we can do this again very soon, okay?
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Welcome.
And thank you to my fans, and you can visit my website anytime at www.terrydoss.com. And I really, really appreciate all my friends and fans that support me. So thank you. And thanks for having me on, Johnny. It was good to talk to you.
You too.
Okay, take care.